Thanks for having me, everyone. My name's Anthony Kelly. As Mary said, I work with Melbourne Activist Legal Support and a whole range of other groups. I've been a movement trainer and activist for some 30 years or so. And I'm also coming to you from Wurundjeri land, unceded and very beautiful country here. I'd like to pay my respects to elders past and present as well. It's incredibly frustrating at the moment to be an activist. Hey, I'm sure all of us would like to be out in this on the streets. And it's somewhat disconcerting, if not incredibly frustrating, that large contingents of far-right organising is happening in the streets, you know, and we're sitting home dutifully in acts of human solidarity, supporting each other to make sure that we're safe and the vulnerable in our community are safe. So, but it is difficult to position ourselves and to be active at this particular time in this pandemic. So, that's one of the challenges ahead of us. So. I am by no means an expert on anti-fascist organising or research. I would like to acknowledge and pay homage to the teams of anti-fascist researchers that for many decades have been keeping tabs on white nationalists, neo-Nazis and other groupings and groupsicles around Australia and alerting us to their danger and their influence. And you've probably seen some of the fantastic work that's been exposed just recently by White Rose Society and other researchers that's culminated in quite a massive Age, Sydney Morning Herald and 60 Minutes expose. I'll talk a little bit about that further on, but their work I'm largely drawing on. So, and some of this will be familiar with you, of course. The anti-lockdown movement that we're seeing rise up in Sydney, Melbourne, WA, in other parts, and also up in northern New South Wales is this weird and strange and organic political tendencies. The far right and white nationalists are heavy in there. I'll go into that in a bit more detail. In Melbourne, we saw the anti-lockdown movement really build on this anti-Victorian Labor, the dictator Dan hashtag that was built and generated. We're seeing the old One Nation and the various fringe senators surrounding them heavily involved. And what's sometimes called the big tent conspiracists, Mary mentioned them as well, but they include the QAnon, but everything you can imagine, the 9/11 truthers and various other conspiracy theories are all playing into this COVID one. And the interesting factor with the QAnon networks is that the QAnon conspiracy was very amorphous during the Trump years. It had Trump to feed on, but a lot of these same people now have got some very tangible lockdowns and the vaccination programs and everything else to link their conspiracy fears and theories with. So the COVID and the state response to COVID has provided all this material for these conspiracy networks it's provided content for them, basically. The libertarian populists, who are often far right, but it's often a term that they use to describe themselves. It's used interchangeably. And I'm not going to go into any definitions of a lot of these. Anti-vaxxer movements that have been around for as long as vaccinations have been around. And we're seeing some of the anti-vaxxer memes and tropes that were used decades ago re-emerge under COVID. The same sort of disinformation, anti-science highly problematic, anti-science rhetoric and you know, acutely dangerous material. The anti-vaxxer material is much stronger up in northern New South Wales, as you can imagine, but there also you can see some of the vergence and shifts towards right-wing populism, seeing prominent anti-vaxxer organisers, some of whom were of the left and, you know, involved in anti-nuclear, anti-US militarism and forest campaigns, are now prominent organisers and are now sharing One Nation videos, for instance. So it's really interesting to see some of the shifts to the right in those sort of communities up in northern New South. There's been a lot of talk about small business owners and aggrieved people who've been impacted by the COVID economic, by the lockdowns economically and have grievances. It's hard to know how much and how much involvement are actually by the small business networks and owners. We've seen some, we can see some of them are active, but whether they're a prominent part of the anti-lockdown movement, it's quite hard to tell. There's also a plethora of what I've sort of called new and emerging activists and online influencers. They're influenced by any of the above political tendencies, but we're seeing them, you know, anti-authoritarian, portraying themselves as real rebels, and right in the front lines of some of the anti-lockdown movement rallies and so forth. And then, of course, there's those impacted by the lockdowns in various ways. The people that Sarah mentioned, people who have genuine fears and grievances and worries and concerns, and who are heavily influenced by the anti-lockdown rhetoric to the point where they're turning up to rallies, they're involved in online debates, and they're getting actively involved. And that's the much wider worry that we have, is how many people are influenced and drawn in to the anti-lockdown movements and shift upwards into increasingly right-wing and reactionary and regressive politics. I'm just going to go down to the next slide. Oops, sorry. Forgive me. One of the more, can people see this one, this slide here? The nationwide, the appropriation of progressive value frames?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. So this again is one of the more disconcerting and concerning aspects of the anti-lockdown movement, that they have very successfully appropriated and co-opted a whole range of progressive and left value frames. So, you know, terminology, words and frames that are traditionally on the left and have been built up through social justice and struggles, basically, over many, many decades, and are now being prominently used in banners, in rhetoric and hashtags of the anti-lockdown movement. And this is hugely concerning. There's nothing new about it. The right have always co-opted and used freedom of speech and other terms and frames for many, many decades, in some cases successfully. You know, but we're seeing it really clearly here, and it's one of the most disconcerting and concerning elements of this movement. You'll see they've used "the people united will never be defeated" in one of the posters, the Assange "courage is courageous" sort of slogan. They're using civil disobedience and resistance as an operating method and a way of saying they're using a lot of individual and civil rights frames, co-opting the old pro-choice or the incredibly relevant current "our bodies, our choice" feminist slogan. And generally taking that anti-authoritarianism approach, which is attractive to so many people who are concerned, worried, thinking about capturing many people who would be concerned about the various police overreach and problematic approaches that we've seen from various states around the world to COVID. One of the more concerning is this group here that originated in Germany. They've co-opted the term "white rose" as a anti-vaccine. They basically couch COVID as a conspiracy psyop, similar to the pandemic conspiracy. But they're a distortion. Their stickers are everywhere. I don't know if you've seen them in Melbourne, but in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, they're everywhere in public parks and playgrounds and so forth. But they're a distortion of course, the Sophie Scholl, the White Rose Society, who in the 1940s bravely resisted Nazism in Germany itself. She was executed along with her brother in 1943. And ironically, the White Rose Society, I put their URL at the bottom here, but these Australian-based anti-fascist researchers are the genuine White Rose Society, but the sort of the faux White Rose Society that's come about under the end of these anti-lockdown movements is a deeply disturbing sort of distortion of this sort of legacy. We're seeing extreme far-right neo-Nazi influence and recruitment and organising. These stickers were seen at the most recent August rallies in Melbourne. The Proud Boys, we know, have been active in organising and on the streets. We know through partly through the 60 Minutes Age expose that members of the National Socialist Network, the neo-Nazi group, have been organising regular or weekly anti-lockdown protests back in last year and have been in there this year as well. And the existing networks that arose from 2016 to the Reclaim Australia surge of white nationalist organising are still around and are heavily driving a lot of the anti-lockdown news and rhetoric. These two here are the two of the more extreme ones, but there's a plethora of other blog sites and pseudo news services. Those existing networks are really prominent now and are key engines of this of the anti-lockdown movement. Now, one thing to point out here, of course, is that these are quite small groups, the Proud Boys and the NSM and other far-right, you know, groups. They're incredibly tiny. They don't have the capacity to organise large rallies and internationally and networking. There are sort of other groups like Reignite Democracy and others who are playing a more prominent building and mobilising role in Melbourne and Sydney and other networks. So we shouldn't overblow their influence, but it's conflate their influence in terms of organising, but we do know that they're in there. And like all far-right strategy, they are seeing this movement as a recruitment tool and their own building their political capacity. This old Gadsden flag we've seen on the streets of Melbourne. This was from July 24. This and the other picture on the other side is from the Capitol assault by the far right back in January. It's an old flag that's got libertarian far right Tea Party aspects. It comes from the American Revolution, basically in the 1700s. But it's just an illustration, one of many illustrations of the many links between the US far right and the anti-lockdown movements here in Australia. The American flags, the Australian sovereign, the red flag, the sovereign citizens, they're also another political tendency that's prominent in the movement. International influences, some of the global coordination of the anti-lockdown rallies that we've seen recently have generated from European and US networks. This worldwide demonstration is one, the Free Citizens of Cassel. They're working under the We Will All Be There hashtag, and they've been generating a lot of the global rallies and coordination. And Project Veritas, which a few people have mentioned, I don't have any specific information about how they're described as a coordinated disinformation campaign in the US. I'm not sure how much influence they have here in Australia, but they have lots of funding. They're incredibly rich and they fund groups. So it's likely that they're supporting Australian groups and supporting groups internationally. But they played a prominent role in the pro-Trump disinformation machine over in the US. So I'm just going to leave it there just due to time. One of the things that it might be worthwhile considering is that this amalgam of political tendencies is being utilised by the movement to grow and to expand itself, but it's also, of course, an incredible weakness. We are seeing debates within the anti-lockdown movement that's been trying to expel some of the far-right neo-Nazi tendencies from some groups. The Reignite Democracy and other groups are really trying to position themselves for electoral success, starting to form political parties. But, of course, just like in Reclaim Australia, some of these political tendencies are also pose an incredible weakness. The anti-lockdown movement is, you know, of course, facing extreme repression from police forces whenever they break the public health regulations and rally and so forth. What impact that has is difficult to say at this stage, but we also know that police crackdowns can radicalize, particularly those new and emerging activists, but it can also shrink the political space which the movement has to operate. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks everyone. I'm keen to get involved in discussions, but I'll leave it there in terms of directions and ways forward.